Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, July 22nd, 2014. With me today, I have the dapper man about town, Brian Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Sure. And it's always awesome to have you here. Also, role model for Mr. Spock and scientists everywhere, John Martin.
Absolutely. Good morning.
Good to have you here, too. And
You're right on there, because when I was at Indiana University, all my girlfriend's friends called me Mr. Spock. So you nailed that one.
Well, I bet you thought that was a compliment, too.
Well, it may very well have been. It could have been, hey, Spock, up for some Ponfar.
Three-dimensional chess.
Which, of course, was a euphemism.
No, that's not code. Three-dimensional chess is just chess.
Oh. Well, suddenly it's not as exciting.
Remember, he thought that was a compliment.
Oh, well, okay.
There you go.
There you go.
Speaking of compliments.
Yeah. Hey, dapper man about town. Yeah. All right, the first topic that I wanted to take a look at today was a piece that you wrote yesterday, Brian, and this is about a report that Apple has ordered like a metric buttload of iPhones for the end of the year.
Yeah, the Wall Street Journal reported that Apple has ordered between 70 and 80 million iPhone 6s, both the 4s, of course, we don't actually know if it's going to be called the iPhone 6, but the 4.7-inch models and the 5.5-inch models for delivery by December 30th, with the caveat that production of the 4.7-inch models starts in August, and the 5.5-inch devices will be made strictly by Foxconn starting in September.
Again, a metric buttload of iPhones.
Yeah, because remember, this doesn't even count however many current, you know, whichever aspect of the iPhone 5S and 5C that survives for the lower end of the market. This doesn't include however many of those are going to be made too.
And what was the number for Apple's biggest iPhone quarter so far?
It's 51 million is what they sold in the December quarter for a year ago, 2013. That's Apple's first fiscal quarter. And I believe that is the record. I don't think they haven't sold more. Did they? What did they do last month, last quarter?
I don't remember.
38 or 41.
Right, which was well above expectations, but it was certainly not a record. Yeah, so 51 million in the December quarter of 2013. This would just blow past that, assuming that Apple actually is able to get all these made and sell them all.
You know what intrigues me about this, Brian, is the mix. You know, Apple had its first experience with the 5C and the 5S. And I've written before in one of my editorials about how Apple has a pretty good handle on the market and what they think the demand is. Even trickier, because it's not 5S with Touch ID and 64-bit, you know, to vastly differentiate it from the 5C for certain markets. This is screen size, and this is pretty, you know, emotional and hard to figure out in my mind what the breakdown of this 70 million is going to be. How Apple decided what the breakdown should be between these two phones is going to be interesting to find out.
Well, one can presume that because production of the 4.7-inch devices is going to start a month earlier, that Apple anticipates that being the better seller. And I think that's actually pretty – that seems to me to be a pretty reasonable approach to it. But the Journal's piece also noted that last year Apple had a higher mix of 5Cs planned for that quarter. And when it became very quickly obvious that the 5S was the one that was the, you know, was the overwhelming favorite with folks, they shifted production to make more 5Ss, and that Apple could certainly do the same thing here.
Oh, sure. Apple's very nimble, and and they could switch out their production lines pretty quickly if they needed to.
Well, I mean, you know, we say that pretty blithely. That would actually be a pretty epic thing to do, though. When you're talking about 70, so I guess the Apple, so I guess Apple ordered something like 30 to 50 million units in the year ago quarter, or maybe 40 to 60, something like that is what they ordered. Ordering 70 to 80 million units, that is just so many devices being made. I mean, it's almost mind blowing, and you can't turn that stuff on a dime because there's the whole supply chain going into that too.
True. I'm assuming, though, that a lot of components are shared between the two phones. But that said, yes, this is a monumental task.
But,
and even Apple
will
turning
they be?
It on a dime, it would be a big dime.
Besides processor, maybe, you know, besides the chips involved, I don't really know how many components could be shared.
Well, let's see. You'll have the Touch ID buttons. You'll have speakers and connectors.
Be different speakers.
You
absolutely
think?
Be different. Yeah, of course, because it's a different form factor. Apple always takes this stuff, you know, every device is designed to be itself.
That's true. But something this small, I could see the same speakers being used, just positioned differently.
Yeah, I think I agree with Jeff. I don't see any reason to have different speakers given the width. Maybe it's a quarter inch difference in the width. Wouldn't make sense, would it?
Let's not get – okay, maybe. That's probably a relatively small point, but there's a lot of components that can't be shared, in particular the screens.
Right. The frames.
The cases and stuff.
We think these will both be sapphire displays right now, right?
That's the way
I think the 4.7-inch will be for sure. If Apple can do the – it'll be impressive if Apple can do the 5.5-inch one also. And it would make sense for
– well, that's an interesting problem because if the 5.5, which is bigger and more expensive and presumably cooler and bigger and it's better because it's bigger and it doesn't have sapphire because of production issues, isn't that going to be kind of a difficult thing?
Yep, that could be a harder sell. But it's interesting we haven't seen any of those leak yet of the sapphire screens. The screens that we've seen have all been the 4.7-inch size.
And see, that has me questioning whether or not there's even a 5.5-inch model at all.
I know. It's really, really good that you're pretty.
You know, if I like to think I can get by in life on my looks, which probably explains a lot.
Dude, when you wear a scarf, man, you can get away with anything. You wear a scarf like no man's business.
Yeah, well, you know.
True story, folks. Very, very true story.
Yeah, well, when I wear a scarf, I own it.
You absolutely do, man. I'm like totally jealous. I totally wish I could wear a scarf like that.
You know, maybe someday you can.
Maybe. Yeah. Now, before we change our demographic too much.
Yeah, back to iPhones.
Speaking of sapphire, Jeff, I in the back of my head, I have this vague notion that this 70, 80 million number is an expression of Apple's satisfaction with the quality of the Sapphire and how appealing it's going to be to the customers. Because, you know, so far we've had fights over features, but this is going to be something remarkable to hold in your hand. It's going to be something to show friends. People are going to be playing with the Sapphire display and saying, hey, look, Charlie, you can't try your car keys on my iPhone, see what happens. And it's just going to be gloriously beautiful and rugged. And I think it's going to be a big differentiator against Samsung. And I think this 70, 80 million expresses Apple's extreme confidence in how just the Sapphire alone is going to win people over. Vague notion.
I'm waiting to see what you're going to say, Brian, before I respond.
Listen, the thing that's going to sell so many iPhones, these iPhone 6s, these whatever Apple ends up calling it, is the larger screen. As much as as much as we have poo-pooed the idea that the big screens are any kind of innovation, the reality is that there is pent-up demand for a large screen iPhone, as suggested by Samsung itself and part of our next topic. It's the large screen aspect of this device that right. is going to be the driving factor for sales.
Another way to say that is the whole is more than the sum of the parts. You've got a bigger Sapphire display, and so more Sapphire real estate means better in every way.
So sometimes size does matter. That's what it really comes down to, John.
It's all about context.
It is. Okay. Before we run out of time, I do want to hit a second topic. And Brian, you totally committed us to it.
I know.
Since you brought it up. All right. So the other topic I wanted to take a look at totally plays into this whole back and forth we've been having about Apple and Samsung. And this is the difference in the marketing tactics that they're using. And this became just so crystal clear to me today. Not that it wasn't before, but it was a really good example today. When I watched Apple's new ad for the MacBook Air stickers, and then after that, I watched Samsung's ad for the Galaxy S5, where they are saying, hey, look, we already have a big screen. Apple doesn't have one yet. And what I saw were these two very markedly different styles of advertising. In Apple's case, it was this emotional representation of how our computers are a very personal thing for us. And then the Samsung ad, where it's, hey, we already have a big screen. Look at us. We're comparing ourselves to Apple.
But Samsung did find an actor who was extremely good at facial expressions.
They did, yes. So much so that that was the frame that I grabbed to use as an image in the article.
Yes,
that
I wrote. One of them. He had many good expressions in that ad. But this really harkens back to. Do you remember the piece I wrote? I don't know, call it 6 months ago, where I asked what Samsung was going to do, or what Android was going to do once Apple erased the one advantage they had, which was large screens. I mean, this ad speaks directly to that point. This is all Samsung has had all this time is a large screen. A large screen that they were doing better than anybody else, and Apple didn't have it, and people that wanted that large screen had to go to Android. And that advantage is being erased with this next generation of iPhone. And now what are you going to do, Android?
Yeah. And well, in this case, it's Samsung preemptively striking, saying, yeah, but we already have a big screen.
Which is true. They do. And that and a bucket of dollars will buy you something that you could buy with a bucket of dollars. It's a terrible analogy, but...
Yeah, I was waiting to see how you're going to work your way into that one.
Yeah, I didn't. Unfortunately, I'm still drowning in my bucket of dollars.
Yes, well,
I wonder if it has something to do with the culture there. Surely it must be the culture of mimicking and following other people and duplicating and making money off of other people's inventions. You know, goes back a long way in the culture. And if you get inside the culture, I imagine it looks very sensible to them, very reasonable.
And you're talking about, to be clear, you're yeah. talking about Samsung culture, yeah, not Korean culture. Samsung. Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't want that misunderstood.
Yeah, yeah, and that's a good point. I look at this and I see a company that I'm sure they think they're sending a different message than the one I'm receiving. Because the message I'm receiving is, we're not innovating. We're just creating these products, and we're hoping that we can convince you to not look at an iPhone, but look at our product instead. And it's almost like a desperate plea. Look at what we have, as opposed to the strong emotional message Apple is sending, which is empower yourself.
Yeah, and that the. You watch, I first saw this commercial on TV yesterday and then immediately went to go post it on the site. And I just watched the course. I was like, man, that's so awesome. For one thing, it was really cool to see Mac hardware on TV again. You know, yes. we don't see a lot of that. And but the commercial itself, it's fun. It's interesting. And it's interesting. You know, I didn't even mention this. Apple was showing people modifying their devices. We yes. don't ever see that.
They even were showing the Rainbow Apple logo.
I know, right? Someone, one of my readers, commented on that. It's fascinating. That is kind of an interesting thing too, because I you know, Steve Jobs was always very adamant about things being presented the way he intended them to be presented. So that was interesting. And this the whole feel of the commercial was fun. It's as John said, it's that emotional tug, and then that really spoiled, whiny, but we had it all along message. And if we could kind of like pretend I didn't say that other thing about the bucket of dollars, Samsung having already had it, and $1.95 will get you part of a Starbucks coffee.
Yes, it will.
That's what I was – something like that was what I was trying to say earlier.
All right. Well, but before you end up with metaphors that get you into even more trouble, Brian, how about if I say we're out of time?
Yeah, it's too bad.
It is because I'm just excited to see – no, intrigued. I'm intrigued to see just exactly how you can butcher a metaphor next time.
Yeah, thanks.
Oh, sure thing. All right. And thank you for joining me today. And also thank you, John.
Spock out.
Well played, sir.
Well played indeed.